Our Father and our God, we come to you this morning and we give you all praise and honor and glory for revealing yourself to us in such fullness in your holy word. And we thank you too for revealing yourself to us in Jesus Christ our Lord and by the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray you would teach us more about yourself now, for we wish to know you better and to serve you better and to worship you better, both now and all of our days, and then through eternity. So we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read chapter 2, section 3, to you. In the unity of the Godhead, there are three persons of one substance, power, and eternity: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. The Father is of none, neither begotten nor proceeding. The Son is eternally begotten of the Father. The Holy Ghost, eternally proceeding from the Father and the Son. Well, in the past 2 weeks, we've studied God's perfections. And then we studied God's independence from the world and our dependence on Him. Here in this final paragraph, we find a series of statements about God as one and God as three. The Bible has much to say about the unity and the oneness of God. The creed of the Old Testament was the oneness of God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And the same creed is found in the New Testament. For Paul, when he is reminding us that there's only one mediator between God and man, also stops to point out that there is only one God. And of course, this is mentioned many times in both Testaments. This truth is so basic that the Apostle James said, that James says, even the devils do not deny it. But the remarkable truth is that in the unity that is God, there are three persons. God's unity is like no other. It's a tri-unity or trinity. These three are one in the most profound sense. They are one in their eternity. They have always existed with one another. There was never a time when Father, Son, and Holy Spirit did not exist together in love, in peace, in glory, abounding together in every perfection and in all fullness. Likewise, they are one in power. The three powerfully act as one, and the three are equal and unsurpassed in their power. And as one God, they are also one in their substance. And here, even as we say this, we are already grasping for words. We're only trying to say that the three really are one God. First, there is God the Father. Second, there is God the Son. And third, there is God the Holy Spirit. The Westminster Divines here are trying to make clear in as few words as possible that the Father and the Spirit and the Son are God. And this is just what the Bible teaches. When Paul is outlining the problem with paganism and idol worship, he reminds the Corinthians that to us, there's but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we are in Him. When John is marveling at the incarnation of the Son of God, he tells us first that in the beginning was the Word. Not only was the Word in the beginning, not only was the Word with God, the reality is, he tells us, the Word was God. The Word is God. And when, in a sad chapter of church history, the Apostle Peter is telling Ananias and Sapphira that their pretended generosity is really a sham, he first tells them that they have lied to the Holy Spirit. And then he clarifies and says, "You have not lied to men. You have lied to God." Well, truly, this is a remarkable testimony. And perhaps this was dimly understood by the Old Testament saints. It was certainly understood by the apostles themselves. And that's why the Apostle Paul blessed the Corinthians in the name of the triune God, offering to them the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. But although the apostles understood this doctrine, others have not. Everyone agrees that the revelation of one God, who is three persons, is hard to understand and impossible to fully explain. But because of the difficulty of this doctrine, or because people do not accept the authority of God's holy word, some have thought that God is not truly three persons. These people do not read the Bible carefully and prayerfully, and they reduce our triune God to a grade B movie without enough actors. They suggest that God sometimes acts like the Father and then in another moment acts like the Son, and then perhaps later acts like the Holy Spirit. Well, there are many problems with this view, but chief among them is the fact that God revealed himself to us as one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit simultaneously. And he did so not only in the Bible, but also at the baptism of Jesus. And in God's infinite wisdom, he recorded and revealed that event to us. In Matthew chapter 3, we're told with great clarity that the Father declared from heaven his approval of his Son. And at that same moment, the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove. Well, here all three members of the Trinity are revealing themselves, not one now and another later, but all three at once. Here we see one grand and unforgettable event in the history of redemption where God reveals himself for who he is. Well, we also insist that the three are truly distinct and different because, as this confession reminds us, different members of the Trinity do different things. And this is summarized so well by our Lord in John 15, verse 26, where in a moment, in a line, our Lord promised, "When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me." So much is packed into that one sentence. Here we see that the Father, that there is a Father, that he is not begotten. He does not proceed. These are not the things which characterize him. He is not sent from anyone else. He eternally and divinely begets the Son, by which we, this relationship between the Father and the Son, by this relationship, we only understand that in some way, God the Father is a Father to God the Son. We also see that he sends the Spirit. As Jesus once said, the Spirit of truth goes from the Father. The Son also sends the Spirit when he is speaking about the Counselor, his Holy Spirit. Jesus says that he will send the Spirit from the Father. But the Son is still different from the Father. Not only is the Father and the Son, the Son is begotten, by which we only understand that he is in some way a Son to the Father. We do not try to explain how the Son is a Son to the Father. We only recognize that Jesus Christ calls God his Father, and that the Father calls him his Son. Well, the Spirit is different than both. He is the executor of the Father and the Son. He willingly does their will. He knows the mind of God, Paul says in Romans chapter 8. And of course, he knows the mind of God, and he is equal in power and eternity with the Father and the Son. And he is sent by the Father and the Son to do their will. He does not send anyone else. He himself is sent. And in these most basic and simple distinctions, that some send and one is sent, one begets, another is begotten, we see distinctions in the Trinity that we must not blur. Ultimately, we know that the three are distinct and that they are one, because when the disciples are told to baptize themselves, they are told to do it in the name, of course, God's name. But then three names are given. They are told to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. This is a doctrine which has implications for all of life, doesn't it? It's the oneness of God the Spirit, God the Son, and God the Father that the Apostle Paul, for example, invokes when he's calling the Ephesian Christians to unity. He says there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. There is one Lord, by which he's referring to Jesus Christ, one faith, one baptism. There's one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So let us gather then to worship this morning in that sort of unity, worshiping the only true God and praying that the Father, through Jesus Christ, his Son, would send us his Spirit and bless us this hour. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, how we do thank you that you are a great God. O Son, we come to you and thank you that you gave yourself to us so that we could be saved. O Holy Spirit, we pray that you would work in us and teach us to understand you better. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.